Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and ConjureMan of ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest from the Association of Independent Reapers and Rootworkers, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's topic on safe travel spells. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo conjurer root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Man. Miss Kat?
Hi, thank you so much, James. Before I bring in anybody else, I want to make these real quick announcements. First of all, we have a winner. In fact, we have six lucky winners for Facebook Fridays for December 15th, 2023. And each winner gets one bottle of genuine handmade Lucky Mojo brand Crucible of Courage oil. And the names of our winners are Alexis Gonzalez Schultz, Beth Berg, Trish Moon Cook Hastings, Louis or Louis Montclair, Wayne Cameron, and Matthew McHale. So congratulations, folks. You just won a free Crucible of Courage oil. So respond to the message from the Lucky Mojo page on Facebook and send us your mailing address for shipping purposes. We will never ask for a credit card. We will never ask for you to, quote, register, unquote. Don't do it if someone asks you that. This is for just your shipping address. Thanks very much for participating. We will have a new giveaway next Friday. Now, announcement number two. We have been doing the Hoodoo Heritage Festival for many, many years, and every year we have made PDFs of flyers, well, we've printed them out, as printed flyers that are given away at the workshops. But in the last number of years, the last 4 years, we've also videotaped the presentations for the workshops, and there are 10 each year. And then after a seemly amount of time, we release the workshops with their PDFs, downloadable, printable flyers for each year, each workshop. So the time has come that the workshops from 2023 are being released. You don't have to buy the entire package of the festival anymore. Now you can buy any workshop you want for $25, and that includes an hour's worth of video, usually some other little trailers and other little bits, and then the printable flyer that you can print out and keep in your Book of Shadows, or whatever you want to call it, your three-ring binder. And they will, by the way, be later printed in a book like the red folder and the black folder, but that's down the road. So the 10 workshops that have just been released for this year are in no particular order: Southern Hoodoo in the Frozen North with Doc Murphy. Now, Doc Murphy is often on this show in the chat. I don't see her here today, but she sometimes makes it in. And this is about how to do conjure if you don't live in the South, where conjure really got to be popular and was developed among African-Americans who had been brought to the South under slavery conditions, but then spread north. And so, no surprise, there are black people in the north, and hoodoo has spread to the north. But it does require the change-up of a few well-loved techniques. That's what Doc Murphy is talking about. Then we have Heidi Holton, with lucky stones and lucky rocks. So lucky rocks and lucky stones does not mean crystal magic. It means particular item called a lucky stone or a lucky rock, also known as a fish ear bone or an otolith. And these have a long history of use in hoodoo. And Heidi Holton shows you what they are, where they come from, how to get them out of a fish, and then how to cook the fish after. And these are used for money luck and gambling luck. So it's a great workshop. Plus, Heidi even sings some song about it, Ma Rainey's song about Lucky Rock. Then we have a workshop, Sneaky Tricks, with Miss Michael. And this became a book, and you can buy the book, Sneaky Tricks, which is co-written by Miss Michael and me, yours truly. But Miss Michael presented the workshop. It's really good. It's an hour of how to hide your hoodoo in plain sight. If you're the kind of person who lives among other people and needs to be able to, you know, stay on the down low with your magic, this workshop is for you, and so is the book. And you can buy the book from Lucky Mojo, but you can only get the workshop from the online workshops, online classes. So I'll get you that URL in the chat, and I'll name it later. The next one is called Taking Root, Hoodoo for Building and Protecting a Successful Business with Reverend Art. Now, we all know Reverend Art. In fact, he's right there. I see his face in the chat.
Indeed.
And Reverend Art is a guy who has really taken business magic to a new level. And so this is both practical and spiritual magic, and it's not just for building your business, but also for protecting your business and protecting your wealth. It's a great workshop, and it also comes with one of those two-page flyers. The next workshop is Astrology for Root Workers with me, Catherine Ironwood, and this also is accompanied by a book that I wrote, and the topic is natural astrology, no math, just the moon, the sun, the stars, and maybe a little bit of an almanac. You can get an almanac. I think you're going to need one. But you can find that online for free at any time. So Astrology for Root Workers is the history of how root workers used astrology, especially as documented in the early 20th century, just to show you that it's nothing new in hoodoo. And there's a lot of material in there, a lot of spells on the use of the moon and the signs of the zodiac and the sun. Next workshop is Mystic Healing and Cursing with Water with Ms. Robin. So this is one of Ms. Robin's amazing courses in everything from the light side to the dark side, because that's how she works. And these are all done just with waters and different kinds of waters. She gives a recipe for some kind of, waters that she uses, but she also talks about the use of natural waters. It's a great workshop. And if you ever wondered about the role of water in conjure, Miss Robin is the one who will teach you about it. The next workshop is called Help Is on the Way with Lukianos. And this is the making of a solar talisman for help and protection in troubled situations, when you have a situation that you can't quite deal with, where you really need a guide, a helper. This is a workshop that tells you how to make a little talisman, a solar talisman, and Lukianos is a great maker of amulets, and so this one is called Help Is on the Way. The next workshop is An Artist Among the Spirits with John St. Germain. Now, this is the life of Reverend Adele Clemens, who was a spiritualist minister. And she was unusual in that she was a woman from Pennsylvania, and she became a spiritualist, and she became so involved in the spiritualist church and spiritualist ways of working that she basically broke from her own community and went to live in Harlem in New York in the black community. And this was a long time ago. And she was a preacher and teacher of spirituality in Harlem. And she was the founder of Divine Harmony Spiritual Church, which is the church that John St. Germain is now the pastor of. So he decided to write a biographer of her. The next one is Consecrating Altar Statuary with Reverend James, our own announcer. And this is a look at how altar statuary, particularly that that is hollow, can be consecrated and loaded, filled, and prepared according to Taoist methodologies. It's just as useful as hoodoo methodologies. It is not even dissimilar in some ways, but there are many ways of loading and consecrating altar statuary. And if you have never done this, if you just go down and, you know, you buy that little statuette or statue, you know, down at the local outlet for Chinese statuary that you found somewhere, you know, they have those made in China Virgin Marys and those made in China Jesus Malverdes, and they have those made in China Kuan Yins, whatever you got. They're all made in China nowadays. Very few are made anywhere else. But you want to bring it home, and it came out of a factory. How are you going to consecrate it? Well, Reverend James tells you how. How to get that statue, figurine, statuette working in spiritual alignment with your beliefs and practices. Beautiful, beautiful workshop. And the last one is Our Favorite Love Spells. And this is a panel discussion. So we just turned everybody loose. What's your favorite love spell? And panel members are Conjure Man, our own co-host Conjure Man, yay, Nikki Jean, JD, who's our guest today, Deborah Voigt, who's the co-host of The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, and Reverend Roy. And so these love spells run all the way from seduction to sexuality to fidelity to celebration of partnership and union. Everything, different love spells for different situations. That is the list. Each one of these workshops, about an hour each, and each one costs $25, and you get a printoutable flyer that will contain spells, recipes, ingredients, whatever you need to know to accomplish the work that's there. Now, to get these, you can go to hoodooworkshops.com, or if you want to throw a little affiliate money our way, you can go to luckymojo.com/online-classes.html, and that will give us a $1.25 affiliate for every $25 you spend. Of that $25, by the way, half of it goes to the, and the other half is divided between whoever the affiliate is and James for making all this coding and stuff, and the rest of it goes to AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, which sponsored the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals. Okay, I've talked myself out. I knew this was going to take a long time. I hope that y'all followed along and that you, you know, pop in and get yourself a workshop or two if you like them. You can get them by the presenter if you like a person's style. Get all of the ones by that person. They also fall into different categories of work. And, for instance, love spells or herbal spells or whatever. And you can check them out by category or by person and just get one at a time. When you have access to them, it's not just a one-time view. You get to keep that access, and you can download the printable text anytime. All right. Whew, I'm talked out. Take it away, Conjure Man. I have nothing more to say.
that was a very cool, but very interesting update there. Hopefully people will take advantage of this amazing resource that's being made available. On my end, not as exciting of things, but we are definitely winding down as the year is coming to an end. I always do a sort of beginning of the year ritual every January 1st. I also happen to do it on the vernal equinox, so I acknowledge both the sort of secular new year and the actual natural astrological new year, which is the spring equinox. But I always do a nice road opening work on January 1st that involves my clients, that involves me, family members. It's a pretty large ritual that takes quite a bit of time to prepare, about a week before January 1st, I start preparing for it. This week I've started several weeks early. So I've started to gather my materials, I've started to gather the candles, and we sort of dedicate a giant altar space for this work so that we can make 2024 the new year a good year. So that's what I've been really busy with at this time, just to preparing for the new year, preparing for opening the ways, preparing for new beginnings. And hopefully that 2024 will be a much better year than 2023 was. So that's what I've been really busy with in that regard. I've done an actual preparation of the altars. I'm getting ready. We still have a few more materials that we need to gather. I'll probably be putting in a Lucky Mojo order very soon, probably today or tomorrow, for some oils that are running low. I'm running very low on John the Conqueror right now. So I'll be putting in an order today or tomorrow to replenish, and then really doing this ritual January 4th. So very excited to be doing that work for clients and for family and friends. It's been one heck of a year, and honestly, I am very much looking forward to 2024. Bring it on. I'm ready.
Well, it's going to come upon us whether we're ready or not. So, as the Chambers Brothers saying, people get ready. That's all you can do. All right. Okay. Something has just piled up here, and I'm not sure what this is. A whole forum post has just appeared, and I don't understand why, so I'm just going to pass right by it. That is not time for that, and that should be deleted later. Okay, let's bring in our guest, JD.
Yay, I'm here.
JD, how were things with you in Detroit?
Things are doing really well here. Just finished up some classes, getting ready to go on break, excited for the Christmas and New Year's. Been doing a lot of cleansing and protection work for clients the last 2 weeks, so I think people are ready for a new year and a new them and to move forward, so that's really exciting. Been pretty good, you know. I'm pretty happy, ready to move forward with the new year. I think, like Conjurman said, I'm very much hopeful for a greater 2024. Filled with more blessings than struggles.
Well, it's been quite a year, and I know you've been working really hard. So I'm very glad you stepped in at the last moment. We should explain. If you were here last week, we did announce that our Safe Travel show was going to be with the guest Papa Newt. But Papa Newt came down with an illness. The good news, he told us he's testing negative for COVID, but he doesn't feel good. So he probably has the flu or something. And we talked to him this morning. You know, he just didn't feel up to being on the show. And so we called JD, and JD said, yeah, I sure can. What's the topic? And that is so like you, JD. You're the willingest worker, and you're always here, you know, with a lot of knowledge and a lot of spells up your sleeve. So I'm so glad to have you here.
Thanks. I try to help out when I can and give back to everyone who's, you know, done a lot of work for Lucky Mojo and the forum and this radio show. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. Okay, so you inherited the topic of safe travel from Newt as he sort of passed the torch or passed the baton. So I'm going to just talk a little bit about safe travel first, and then we're going to jump into our discussion. So safe travel spells, I mean, they go back a long, long way. They go back to a time when, if you have to kind of think about this, travel was always by foot, either your own foot or the foot of a donkey or a horse or a mule. There was, you know, really no other way to travel back in the day. And you would be traveling through areas where there were bandits and ambushers. And you might come to a town where people didn't like the kind of clothes that you wore because your ethnicity, as represented by your clothes, was different than theirs. And they might not be friendly. And unbeknownst to you, a war might have been declared as you were traveling through a wilderness territory. And you come out the other side, and all of a sudden, you're in, quote, enemy territory. So traveling had a lot of problems, bandits and starvation even. Where were you going to sleep at night? There were not, you know, little motels all along the way. So travel prayers go back millennia, and they can be found in many cultures and communities. Some of the earliest written travel prayers we have come from the Middle East, but they also existed elsewhere and just got written down later. So what makes for safe travel? First of all, having food, right? Second, having shelter. Oh, and water, food and water, shelter. Having shelter along the way. And then finding people who are friendly and not going to kill you for your little purse or, you know, take your mercantile goods that you're traveling to sell in another town. Won't take you captive and make you a slave. And then finally, when you get to your destination, that there'll be people to welcome you. So that's what safe travel prayers consist of. And along with prayers, as we know, there always come talismans and amulets, charms, and ways of working to ensure an outcome that it's embodied in some. So safe travel has always been a need for any people who were literally not mobility hindered. And this is the show about safe travel. So I'm going to turn this over to you, JD. Tell us what you think about safe travel spells.
Sure. Thanks, Ms. Kat. One thing I wanted to talk about first about safe travel work was that it's a blend of protection. Like you mentioned, the need to be protected while you do this journey, whether it be where you're located or the mechanism that you're traveling in, which also brings in that level of safety. It also brings in protection in that when you're there, so say if you're in a far-off place, you're visiting another community, that you are safe, brings good health, the importance of not getting sick abroad, and also luck. So that's kind of what I think about when I look at what safe travel means to me and what it looks like cohesively for the work. There's some really great traditional spells that are through hoodoo and through, like you mentioned, there's Jewish, there's Arabic, there's Romanian, Italian, great spells that are really great for helping people be safe on those travels. One of them mentioned today that the safe travel website on Lucky Mojo was updated recently, so I hope people will check that out. It's awesome. One of the things that is traditional in my family is wearing the Italian horn, which is made of coral. The Italian horn, which is red, it's usually made of coral from the Mediterranean Sea, and it is known to protect against all evil. There's also another old Italian tradition about wearing coral is that those who wear coral cannot drown. So it is common to wear coral, especially if you are a person who boats or works in the boating industry, or maybe maybe you are a cruise liner, someone along that line, wear red coral around your neck. To prepare it, you would pray Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. And this is where Jesus rebukes a storm and he stops the storm from happening. And you would follow it by Psalms 23. And particularly focus on the verse where he leads me beside still waters. With the focus here is that the coral will help the storms calm and give you safety. Now, this spell, obviously, coming from Italy, Greece area, is traditional because many of them were coastal line, and they also worked in the boating, particularly fishing. So it was very important to have protection at sea against storms and particularly drowning. To adapt that to people who travel, if you're going on a cruise or you're going to a coastal area, you may also want to wear coral for that very reason.
All right. That's really, really important stuff. And the idea of safety from drowning. I just want to quickly, I don't want to take up too much time with it, but we definitely are having trouble with Blog Talk Radio. And it was suggested in the chat that this may be this big solar storm that has been threatened to happen. Did you all read about it, that there had been a solar flare? and that it was disrupting all radio communication and Wi-Fi and other types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be what's going on. We're just going to keep on going on ahead and record this. If you cannot hear it now, you can catch it in the archive. Is that okay with y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, because we have people are saying they had to call three times to get in. I'm pretty sure it has to do with this solar flare. Thank God it's not a Carrington event, okay? Right? So, all right, so back to what we were saying. But you brought up something, JD, that really interested me, the safety from drowning. This is particularly a popular kind of spell for travel that you find among seafaring people. And one of the best-known ones in the English tradition is the having the veil or caul of a child, in other words, the dried amniotic sac of a baby, kept and given to or sold to a sailor, because the baby who has that will never drown. And sailors who are not born with a veil or caul would purchase said veil or caul, usually in a little wooden box, and then they could carry that around with them, and they would not drown.
Mm.
So, Conjurman, your turn. Tell us a spell that you know for safe travel.
There's a lot of really great ones. We should note that as hoodoo developed, travel in particular revolved not just bandits, as it was traditionally. So like the oldest safe travel spells that we have deal with things like storms on the sea. These are like the oldest you'll find. Bandits and brigands on the road. These are like the two most common things. And then the third is diseases as you travel. These are like the three things that almost you can, if you look at any sort of ancient source on magic, for example, the Psalms used for magic, the Surahs were used in magic, Zoroastrian magic, all the magics of the ancient world, generally when you talk about safe travel, around these three things. Safety from brigands, safety from storms, and safety from illnesses. As hoodoo developed in the American experience, particularly the Black American experience, you also needed safety not just from brigands, but from racists. And so you needed safety from people who would waylay you on the road, but also from police officers. You know, as you were traveling, particularly in the South, but also in the North, the threat from the law was very real. So one of the old-timey spells to keep you safe from both brigands and law enforcement is to take a small dime, this is a mercury dime, anoint it with holy oil, and then place it in the sole of your shoe. So long as it remains there, it will protect you from anything that the enemy may lay out for you. That includes tricks, that includes plots, that includes schemes and ambushes, but also will protect you from the law. Alternatively, in Virginian conjure, we're told to put a bay leaf in your shoe, and that will keep you safe. The way it was described to me is that so long as a bay leaf remains in your right shoe, you will be invisible to the law and to thieves. So both of them will be blinded and be unable to see you, and therefore you can travel safely.
That's really a good one. And another one is salt and pepper in your shoe.
Yep.
And those are all good ones. The idea that your shoe is where you put protection against any kind of travel issues does really date back to the days when people walked everywhere.
Yep.
Now,
yeah.
We also go a little bit further, and we have protection for travelers through prayer. And I'd like to say a little bit about that. The oldest prayer that I know, of course, I may not be the oldest prayer, but I know for safe travel is one that dates back to between the 3rd and 5th century, 3rd and 6th century AD from the Babylonian Talmud. And this is called the Wayfarer's Prayer. And this is a Jewish prayer. There is a long version of it and a short version, and it doesn't have to be said in Hebrew, and you don't have to be Jewish to say it. And you can find it at my webpage, luckymojo.com/safetravel.html. And if Nagashiva would be so kind, although he's probably losing his mind now because people are in and out of the chat and can hear violins and God knows what's going on out there in Blog Talk Land. Thank you. JD posted the URL. And there's also the prayer itself. And I'm going to see if I can just bring that up and read it to you. This prayer is really, like I said, part of Jewish history, but I'm sure there are many, many other people who have used it who are not Jewish. Oh, it looks like I just got bumped out. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I've lost my Blog Talk screen. This is chaos supreme. It's chaos supreme. So give me just a second here. I'm going to go to the Safe Travel page, and I'll just read it out loud to you. Okay. So this is the short form. May it be your will, my God, that you lead me toward peace, direct my steps toward peace, support me toward peace, and rescue me from the hand of any enemy or ambush on the way, and send blessing upon my handiwork, and give me favor, generosity, and mercy in your eyes and the eyes of all who see me. You are blessed, God, who listens to prayer. So that's the short form of the prayer. And this is a version by a guy named Rabbi Abaya. And he just shortened the long prayer, like, here you go, here's the short form. And he lived in the 4th century in what was then Babylon. Now, the funny thing about these Jewish travel prayer is that there's another version of it which was added by an anonymous rabbi. We really don't know who it was. We have seen printed copies. I have seen printed copies from New York City and from Cleveland, of all places. And nobody knows who wrote it, but it comes after the invention of airplanes. And so it is called the Special Added Prayer for Airplane Travel. And I'm just going to read you this. It's sort of amusing in a way. If I ascend up into the heavens, you are there. And if I descend to Sheol, you are there too. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there would your hand lead me, and your right hand would hold me. And may it be your will, our Father in heaven, that you guard us from storm and tempest and grief, and may you bring forth from your storehouses a propitious wind to carry our plane, and may you sustain and preserve those who fly it. They may neither weaken nor falter, and may we reach our destination alive and well, without any trouble and injury. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be abashed, for I have taken refuge in you, and we will bless you from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. And the version that I have of this says on the bottom of that, which is in Hebrew and in English, best wishes for a happy landing. And then it has the name of the rabbi in New York. And there's also, as I said, versions from the Hebrew Academy of Cleveland. So a pragmatic couple of prayers for safe travel from pragmatic Jewish people. All right. Who wants to take the next one?
Well, Ms. Katz, jumping on that, I actually copied down some psalms that are also known for safe travel as well. And I'll post them in the chat, but particularly one, Psalm 17, is prayed for those who are traveling for safety. One, especially now with what's going on in the world, which if you're traveling to hostile areas where maybe there's war happening, Psalms 83 is a good prayer for safety during travel. Psalms 91 calls on God's angels to protect you. Some people might be traveling secretly at this time based on what's going on in the world, so they might recite Psalms 121. And Psalm 73 is another great one, especially if you're visiting areas where you could be religiously persecuted for your beliefs. This will help protect you.
That's a really interesting one, too. Oh, here's your whole list. I was just trying to copy it out from memory. Okay, so Psalm 17 for safe travel, 21 for protection while traveling, 27 protection while traveling, 34 reversing and protection while traveling, 64 protection while at sea and to come safely home. That's a really good one. I'm going to mention something about that, Psalm 64 and to come safely home. A lot of times people will have Missionary Independent Spiritual Church or any one of the other churches associated with the AISC, they'll have someone light a safe travel vigil light, vigil candle, while their loved one is traveling, and will ask us to put Psalms 64 on that safe travel candle. Works very well. We pray, they pray. And sometimes we pray for them while they travel. So they may call us up and say, I'm leaving for London, and I want you to light this candle for me. And and then they might even say, when that one burns out, light another one, and light another one, and light another one, till I get back home again. And we will do that as a service for people. Psalm 73, protection against religious persecution while traveling. That is important for some people. You figure it out yourself if you need that. Psalms 81, which is for safety from accidents, and Psalms 83 for safe travel in the areas of war. Again, that one and the protection against religious persecution are vital forms of prayer and safe travel. And then Psalms 91, protection from harm, giving angels charge over you. This one also protects from diseases and from all kinds of little demon attacks or anything. Okay, and then 121 for safe travel at night. And that also protects against any danger at night, just not just traveling. Thank you so much for that list, JD. That was really okay.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We should note that 73 while specifically and traditionally and historically has been done for religious persecution, it can also be done for any sort of persecution. I'll point out that it was very common for women who were dealing with restrictive laws around abortion to invoke Psalm 73 to protect them from persecution. I've also done it where we've created a small talisman. So women who have to deal with, living in 2023, that's very much a reality yet again, right? The fact that we now have states that have not only banned the woman's right to choose, but are penalizing it, criminalizing it. Psalm 73 is very powerful in that regard. I've also created a talisman around the persecution psalm specifically for LGBTQ people who are traveling in unsafe places, both in the United States and abroad, like if you're traveling in UAE or Qatar or places that are hostile to gay and queer people. So any type of persecution, not just religious persecution, can be invoked with this particular psalm, as well as other forms of oppression. Another really famous prayer is St. Patrick's Prayer, which is often invoked for protection generally, but also in travel. It's actually a much longer prayer that starts with I rise today and has all sorts of these, but the specific part of it that's often for travel is Christ shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that reward may come to me in abundance. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, and Christ when I sit down. Another variation of it invokes Saint Michael rather than Christ, or the Archangel Michael with me, the Archangel Michael before me, the Archangel Michael behind me, and so on and so forth.
That's a good one. And I want to give a shout out to Phyllis, who mentioned that Psalms 28 is mentioned in the book Power of the Psalms for Safe Travel, with the spell being wrap verses 6 and 7 onto parchment, or write them onto parchment, wrap the talisman in a handkerchief and carry whenever you are away from home. So there's another one. That is absolutely great. Now, I'm just going to give a little shout-out to Comfrey Root. Comfrey Root is used for safe travel, and you can just carry a piece of the root with you. Because comfrey roots will sprout wherever you throw even a little bit of them, most roots have to have a little nodule or sort of proto-bud before they take root. Comfrey has some sort of strange, like stem cell-like quality that if it needs a root, poop, a root will just come right out of it. So comfrey can be grown anywhere. It just has to be kept moist, and so it is used for safe travel. And we put it in our safe travel oil that we make at Lucky Mojo. It's just a very good one for keeping around you. And you can carry a piece of it in your glove box or anything like that. Okay, so, and JD has put up the link for the St. Patrick prayer, and that's good. Oh, my gosh. And it looks like Nagashiba founded the whole thing at St. Patrick's Church. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The prayer from the breastplate of St. Patrick. Yeah. So then that also brings us to St. Christopher. Would you like to talk about St. Christopher, JD?
Yeah. I'm actually just going to post that. Christopher is a great saint who's known for safe travels, and he is petitioned by many who either travel for work or just commute a lot or even are on trips. And it is common to find a St. Christopher charm that is dressed and prepared and hung on the visor of a car for those who want his call on his safety. One thing you can do is you can take a charm of St. Christopher and you can dress it with St. Christopher oil and protection oil from Lucky Mojo and dust it with angelic root and then pray the St. Christopher prayer over it. And then recite Psalm 17 for safe travel. And this is something that you can keep in your car or wear with you when you travel. I've actually seen charms where it actually has on one side, it has St. Christopher stamped. On the back side, it has St. Michael stamped. So it protects it both for safe travel and as well as protection while abroad. So that's another really cool charm that I've actually seen. And I just posted in the chat the safe travel for St. Christopher.
Okay. Great. Now, it's interesting. I also put up one that is called the Motorist Prayer. Interesting that these rhyme. I'm going to read them out to people who cannot see the chat. So the Motorist Prayer, which I have found printed on the back of St. Christopher cards and also stamped into aluminum visor clips, grant me, O Lord, a steady hand and watchful eye, that no one shall be hurt as I pass by. Thou gavest life, I pray no act of mine may take away or mar that gift of thine. Shelter those, dear Lord, who bear me company from the evils of fire and all calamity. And so this is a prayer, I sometimes call it the chauffeur's prayer, because the idea is that you don't even want a pedestrian to be hurt by you. You're driving people around. And I have seen that prayer stamped into brass and into aluminum and put into old cars. Now, the one that JD posted is, Dear St. Christopher, protect me today in all my travels along the road's way. Give your warning sign if danger is near so that I may stop while the path is clear. Be at my window and direct me through when the vision blurs from out of the blue. Carry me safely to my destined place as you carried Christ in your close embrace. Amen. And then say Psalm 17. So that's a different version of the idea of St. Christopher. Now, why Christopher? Christopher means Christ carrier. And he was a guy who was a fairy person. They were usually men because they were stronger. And where there was a low water, people had to be carried across the water. They didn't want to get wet, and it was too shallow for boats. And so strong men would carry you, and you would pay them a little tip, you know, when you got to the other side. It was sort of a poor man's job. And one day, the Christ child wanted to get across the river, and he asked Christopher to carry him. And Christopher, who was like the strongest ferryman out there, he just felt that he was getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and he just couldn't carry this little child. And he finally said, "Why are you so heavy?" And the Christ child answered, "Because I carry on my shoulders the sins of the world." Okay, but let's suppose you want a safe travel spell
that is not religious and is specifically not Catholic, there are secular spells for safe travel, and one of my favorite just uses a talisman. If you want to travel safely to a different nation, a different state, or a different city, you can get a coin that represents that place. If it's a foreign country, for instance, Ireland, you would get an Irish coin. If you want to go to Nebraska, it would be one of those U.S. state quarters for Nebraska. And sometimes there are coins with pictures of buildings in certain cities. So once you have the coin of your choice, you're going to get a piece of paper to wrap it in. Now, this can be a map, or it can be a picture of a place in that country, or even the place that's represented on the coin. For instance, you could get a map of the United States. You would draw a line from where you were located to where you're going. And then on that paper, you would write safe travel. You would dress the coin with safe travel oil, wrap it up in that paper. Likewise, if you were going to go to Ireland, you would get that Irish coin, and you might have to go to a coin shop to get it, or you could go online, one of those places like eBay, where you can buy foreign coins rather cheaply. When you get it, you're going to dress it with safe travel oil and wrap it up in that picture of the map of Ireland or a drawing of how to get from where you are in the United States to Ireland or some castle in Ireland you intend to visit. Wrap it up, safe travel written on the paper. And if you make a photocopy, of course, you don't have to cut up a real map or a book. And then you carry that coin with you, wrapped up in the paper. And when you get to the state or the nation where you are going, you can bury it or present it as an offering to the land spirits. In the old days, if you went to a city that had a walled gate, you know, a wall around it with a gate, you would just leave it at the gate. And you could also write your little, you know, prayer, may I be safe while I'm visiting this town, nation, city, whatever. You could leave it at the airport, wherever you want to, just leave it to the land or to at a big cathedral or wherever. And that coin has now brought you to it. So when you bless and dress that coin, what you're praying for is to this coin, I will return you to the land from whence you came if you carry me there safely. And then you do, as promised, you leave the coin as an offering to the land spirits of where you're going. Now, JD, you had put up one about St. Barbara. Can you give us that?
St. Barbara is actually known for her protection for those who are at sea or hurricane or things like that. And so, and particularly those who live in coastal areas, I happen to live by the Great Lakes. So she's very common out here that you would wear St. Barbara charm or a mojo for protection at sea. So the spell here is to take a purple mojo bag and fill it with pieces of lightning struck wood, comfrey root, angelic root, and white mustard seed dressed with protection and safe travel oil. And then you would pray the prayer to St. Barbara over it. And then you would carry that with you, whether it be on your body or, you know, in your glove box, or if you're on a boat, you might put it in a safe part of the boat, but you would carry that with you. And one of my stories I shared was I was actually out on the Great Lakes several years ago in a small boat, and a bad storm came out where you could see it just cascading on us. And I prayed the St. Barbara prayer while we were at sea, and literally you could see the sky split in half. Like it was like a knife cut the sky, and the storm stayed behind us all the way until we hit shore, and then the storm hit. So St. Barbara was there and protected us. So it was a really awesome spell, and I've prayed to her every time I've been on the water since, whenever we have storms.
You know, St. Barbara is known for protecting us, particularly against lightning strikes. And lightning strikes are also very dangerous when you're in an airplane. They have, you know, that's bad for them too. And the people who killed her, there were these, bad guys who killed St. Barbara, they were killed by lightning. So that's why she's known as someone who uses lightning to win victories, but she also protects people against lightning. I had not really thought about her in particular and with respect to travel, but of course she would be very good for that. We had an announcement from Reverend Art. about mystics, mages, and magical places. How about you give us that announcement, Reverend Art? Can you do that?
Why, certainly. So tomorrow on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, Miss Elvira and Deb Voith are joining us again. This time we are talking about Yule and the winter solstice.
Well, that sounds like fun. And so Yule and the winter solstice are slightly separate, but come at the same time of the year. And are you going to be talking about traditions, mostly pagan traditions of Yule?
Well, you know, a lot of the time I do let the guests kind of direct that and follow along with them and let them take the lead. Primarily, we are going to be talking traditional, celebrational sort of things, different ritualistic sort of things that can be done, you know, at this time of the year, getting prepared for the next cycle.
Mm, sounds cool.
Good. Do you have another safe travel spell for us, Congressman?
Yeah, I'm happy to do so. I will mention one from a different tradition. We've talked quite a bit about hoodoo. We've talked about Jewish folk magic. We've talked about Christian. We've talked about Catholic. There is Islamic traditions around safe travel as well. Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, which are the last two chapters of the Quran, are frequently written on paper talismans that are folded up and placed in little leather pouches that you can carry with you, and they will keep you safe in your travels. You can also inscribe them on silver and wear them. They're generally wrapped around one of your arms. Around the bicep is where you would place it, and it would keep you safe in your journeys.
And say the names of those surahs. Do they have numbers?
Yes, it's Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, which is Surah 113 and 114.
Okay, 113 and 114. And when they're inscribed on silver, do you carry them on your person?
Yes, you wrap it, you usually wrap it with some type of string or leather, and you wrap it on your bicep, your arm. Some people wear it around their neck, but it's actually quite traditional to wrap it around your arm.
Wow, okay. Well, that's very interesting. So I guess I'm always curious. You said Falaq. What does that mean?
So Falaq and Nas means the daybreak. And the other means people. It's basically, these are both protective surahs that are used to break the evil eye, protect you from gossip and slander, protect your reputation, protect you from illness, and protect you on dangerous journeys. It's like an all-encompassing, these two are all-encompassing protective prayers. It's not uncommon that you'll actually even find them hung up in the house. So it'll protect your house as well, where people will inscribe it. And there's all sorts of beautiful calligraphy that's done with them. But the entire verses, both of them are verses that say, I seek refuge in God from blank, from a series of things that you seek refuge in God. So these are known as the refuge prayers.
Okay. So I'm going to also note here that we have a page at AIR, which mm-hmm. has the surahs in it, and you can find them. Click the link and you'll go to the surah you want.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and talk to today's client. Our client is Dom Christ, calling in from 510 in California. And are you there, Dom Christ?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, fantastic. And you said that you've had no private reading on this situation with anybody else for Conjure Man or Miss Cat, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. And she writes, need to find a new tenant or keep problem tenant who stopped paying. Need financial help. Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Well, I'm going to give this one to Contraman for the first reading, if that's okay. And I'll do the root work and JD will do the second reading.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to do that here. Dom Chris, if I could just ask a couple of real brief questions. First, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
You are a Scorpio. Okay, so that's a Scorpio sets their mind to something, they will get it done. So I do not envy attendance that cross you in that regard.
And one thing I want to say, Conjure Man, is my partner is a Virgo, so we went into this together. So I'm the one doing the asking for help, but it's two people who are trying to help.
Okay, and how long have you had difficulties with this tenant?
Well, since we moved in,
was
in October of this year, but the rent issue started in November when my partner traveled out of the country.
Okay. So let's take a look here and see what is going to happen here. Should you start looking for a new tenant? Is this pay me work? What type of work that actually is needed? The very first card that we have here does indicate some trouble right off the bat. We're looking at the Nine of Wands, and the Nine of Wands is an individual who has been dealing with struggle, who has been dealing with difficulty, who has fought through that difficulty, and there's a moment of respite. They're leaning on their staff. They're absolutely exhausted. They've got a bandage on their head, indicating that the path that they have been walking has taken a toll, that it has cost something, that it has cost in emotional health and mental health, that there's strain, struggle, et cetera, that is a result of what they've been going through. This leads to the next card, which is, interesting enough, just sequentially the next wand card, the Ten of Wands. So it tells us that the difficulties that you've dealt with will have a brief respite. It'll be a brief sort of moment in which it looks like there's going to be a breakthrough, but then the struggle continues. The Ten of Wands is not a particularly good card for how things are right now. It indicates a person who is carrying a heavy burden going forward. If, for example, you start the process of dealing with this tenant and trying to get a new tenant, that process is not going to be an easy one, that it's going to be difficult. But even with root work, there's an element of burden that you will carry. This does indicate that there may be a sort of financial burden that you will carry with you going forward. There may be a period of time, couple months even, where you're going to sort of carry the load, if I can use that phrase here. You're carrying the load of the circumstance, carrying the burden of this circumstance, that you're going to have to carry it because there isn't a lot of support in that regard. So both of these cards indicate the kind of past and present and where things are headed right now. And they don't look ideal, but there is some hope here. There is some hope here. Hope comes in the form of the Six of Coins. And the Six of Coins shows us an individual that is handing out coins while having a scale. And he's handing them out to individuals that seem unhoused, poor, homeless, etc. The indication of the Six of Coins is that you will get some monetary relief, but it will not be exactly what you hoped for. So there will be some assistance here. If root work is applied, and this cat will know what to do here, if root work is applied, what we can see is that there will be some relief, that you'll be able to get the money flowing again. And that's the most important aspect of this, that you will get money flowing again, that you will get the finances that you are asking, but it won't be the full amount, or it's not exactly the ideal situation. So what we call this is a partial victory. But after a period of sort of difficulty, a period of carrying the burden, a period of where you have to kind of carry the load forward, just kind of going, look, I've got to put my nose to the ground and keep going forward, because if I don't, I'm going to be overburdened. I'm just going to collapse under the weight of it. I'm going to put one foot in front of the next and just keep going, knowing that eventually there will be some relief. That relief will come if you're able to put one foot in front of the other, move forward, do the root work, do work to do pay me right now, bring money in, open the doors for money, remove bad tenants, bring in good tenants. You know, that type of root work is done. You will start to see some relief, but a heavy cost will have been paid. And so as a result, you are not going to fully recuperate your costs. So what this tells me is that you can restore the flow of money. you can start to get money coming back and you can get a paying tenant and you can get the money that you need. You can get the money that you desire. But in the meantime, you will have borne some level of a financial cost, and it will take a long time to recuperate that cost. So the money will flow, but it won't quite fill up the reservoir that has been emptied during this time. Does that make sense to you? Like, you're going to get the money flowing again, but because you've had to rely on the reservoir, because you've had to rely on carrying this burden, it digs a bit of a hole. It digs a bit of a hole, and it's going to take a while to get out of it. So the flow of the money is possible, but it's not a full recuperation is what these cards indicate to me. So be prepared for that. Assess your finances. Take some practical measures to protect yourself financially. Do the root work that will be recommended to you, and you will have a partial victory from it. With that, I'm going to turn this over to JD, who will do the next reading.
Thank you, Conjurman.
Thank you, Conjurman, and hi, Dom Christ. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you too, JD.
All right. So I'm pulled your cards as well, and the first card I actually pulled about your problem and situation was actually the Tower. And this is a card of, you know, destruction of things obviously not working out, an eviction. So here, I think, believing what I see, is you're ultimately going to have to move forward with removing this person from your home and getting them out. The Ten of Cups reversed here. And that kind of follows the Tower, which tells me that what you originally believed would be a great tenant and a great situation happened to turn around and be kind of a nightmare for you. And it continues to be that nightmare. And ultimately, that they're going to have to be removed. Similar to what Conjurman said, I had pulled the Five of Cups. And to clarify the Five of Cups, I pulled the Two of Pentacles. And what this tells me here is that in order to get rid of them, you're also going to lose something. So you won't lose everything, but it is going to cost you, and you're going to have to come to a decision on how much you're willing to spend to get rid of them. That might include, either a payout or telling them that, look, I'll pay for your moving truck to get rid of you. But I also do see success, and I pulled two more cards just to see what happened in the future, the Hefinet and the Seven of Cups. And to me, this is telling that the longevity of filing a court case against them and ultimately moving forward to get reinstitute some of that money that you lost is there. And when you do get rid of them, of cleansing and blessing this house using like Chinese wash and then drawing in a new perfect tenant is necessary. But from what I'm seeing in the cards is you need to get rid of them. And the Six of Swords came out on as I pulled the next card, that you ultimately it's at a point where you need to let go of these ones and start planning for your future for the new ones. Ms. Kat?
All right. Now I'm going to give you some ideas for evicting. First of all, there is the classic, and the classic is hot foot powder. So if you can use that, that is what to use. And you would be making some hot foot powder, or you can buy some from Lucky Mojo or any reputable maker. You're going to sprinkle it around their path or their door where they would step in it. Now, obviously, it's going to be visible, so you're going to have to mix it with some local dirt, or you can put it into carpeting. Where it would just, if they have a bedroom door, they'd come out the door and it'll be there worked into the carpet. When you put hot foot powder down like this, you're praying for them to get away. The next thing that you can do to move somebody out that you don't like, and I'm going to give a little in advance of a webpage that I wrote over the course of 4 weeks, and my patrons supported the writing of it. So my members, as you would call them, have seen this already, but it hasn't been published yet. And this is a railroad spell. So this is like a little teaser. If you like this kind of stuff, sign up for my Patreon stream. Get something that belongs to that person, preferably a sock or a shoe. And why? Because that has to do with the feet. And you're going to take that sock or shoe down to a railroad track. Now, in the old days, people would say, take it to a river and you could throw it in. You could dress it with hot foot powder or hot foot oil or do anything like that, throw it into a river. But so many people live in urban areas where the rivers have gone into culverts and you can't find them anymore. And we no longer use rivers for transportation. So towns are built in areas where there are no rivers. However, railroads meet the need for transportation in non-watered areas. So there may be a railroad near you. The very old spell is to take that person's sock or shoe and nail it into a boxcar. Or you can throw it into an open boxcar as a train goes by. Or you can stand on a railroad bridge and throw it into a flat car as the train goes under. Or you can just put it on the railroad track, on the rail, with the toe pointing in the direction you want that person to go, and say, now, you must leave. Now, remember, trains run both directions on a railroad track, so you're going to need a schedule to know, which, if you don't care which direction, don't matter, but whichever direction you point that toe, they will go, and they will continue to go. But the most traditional is to put that somehow on the train. Now, people say, well, we don't have a train near us. So the other possibility would be to put it on a big 18-wheeler that's going to be a transport truck. And you can tape it on or use a magnet. This was talked about in our show on railroad spells and railroad magic that we did on the air just recently. And that was a really good show, and there was a lot of good spells. But the idea was put up to use duct tape or a very strong rare earth magnet to put the article of clothing on the vehicle. Now, of course, you're going to pray when you do this. So, and I really think that it would be good for you. Another thing you can do is use a little bit of war water to wash the sock before you put it up. But you want to keep their sweat on it. So you can wash their clothes in war water and give them back their socks and let them wear them. That's always fun. I like doing things like that to people I don't like. So that's what I would recommend for you. The other thing you can do is take their name, write it on paper, put it on a brazier, burn it to ashes, and send the ashes to Paris. It's another way to get rid of them. So how about it? Do those sound like good spells? Does anybody have anything to add?
Those are fantastic, fantastic spells. I would just, the only other thing I would recommend is any sort of hot foot powder that you use, add just a little bit of extra poppy seeds to them. Poppy seeds are really good to
yes.
weaken people who are really stubborn.
That's very good. And JD in the chat said zip tie it to the truck too. Yes, zip ties. That's a really good thing. So any way you're going to do it, you're going to try to get them to move. I'll give you one more, but it won't be useful for you, but somebody listening to this may find it useful. This is not so good for a tenant unless you don't live in the house. So Dom Chris, do you live in the house with the tenant, or is this a rental property?
They live downstairs. We live upstairs. And what I was just going to put in the chat, but I'll say it because it's faster, is they leave their shoes outside. So it actually really might help. And they have a back door that we all use to get to our cars. So the hot foot powder is a must.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Okay. Well, what I was going to say is if they were a tenant in a property that you were renting that was a one-story building, not your building, and I know this doesn't go for you, but somebody under the sound of my voice may go, well, I needed that spell. You take and get an egg, raw egg. You pierce it with a long hat pin or something to break up the yolk inside. You write their name on it if you want to. If you don't want to be caught, you just sort of write their name with your fingertip with not a visible writing. And on a knife point or on the tip of a needle or nail, you introduce into it goofer dust, hot foot powder, and other things of that nature, poppy seed, into the egg, and then you throw the egg over their house. And you have to have a good strong arm, but if it is a one-story house, you can just lob that thing over it, and that will cause them to go away. And that's a very old spell, very popular in New Orleans for some reason. That was just a common spell that was collected there by a bunch of folklorists.
Okay. Next comes our network ID.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voigt, Tuesdays, 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, JD of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, JD.
Thank you. This is for a safe travel. It's a candle working that's also utilizing a mojo. Items needed is a crucifix candle in white, safe travel oil, safe travel incense, and sachet power, comfrey root for safe travel, feverfew to prevent accidents, angelic root for protection, plantain leaves for protection and to stop thieves, lemongrass to cleanse and open your path, and also to prevent any mishappenings on your trip, and five-finger grass for luck and success on your trip. Also, peace water and white chime candles, a St. Christopher charm, a mojo bag, and the fifth pentacle of the sun from the Seals of Solomon. To do this work, you will take a sachet powder and you will make a large square in the middle of your area and put a circle in the center. In the four corners of the square, you will place a white chime candle. Each candle will be carved with the name of an archangel. To the left will be Michael, and then Gabriel, Raphael, then Uriel. And you will dress them with the safe travel and protection oil and dust them with powdered angelic root. You will take the crucifix candle and carve Psalms 91, 11, 12. The Lord gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, in thy hands. They shall bear you up, lest you dash thy foot against a stone. Write the names of anyone you are traveling with on the candle and dust it with safe travel powder. Light the incense candles left to right as you call on the angels listed to aid you. Lastly, light the center candle as you pray for God to give his angels to protect you through this travel. Light the incense as you pray. Take the peace water and shake it up. Then pour it into a cup and place it in front of you. As the water calms, pray, Lord, lead me beside still waters. Restore my soul. Keep me in your way and protect me from the pestilence of nights or the terrors of the day. Keep me safe in all my travels. Amen. As the candle burns, take the fifth pentacle of the sun, flip it over, and write the four angels' names in each corner of the paper. In the center, write, the Lord gives his angels charge over thee to keep me in all of thy ways. In all their hands they shall bear me up, lest you dash my foot against a stone. Lord, protect names as we travel from place to place. So you would list the names and places where you're going and return us safely. Let no hair on our heads be touched. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that's important to write that because what we're going to do is as you flip it over, you're going to take a piece of hair from every person you're traveling with's head and place it in the center of that paper. You will place a piece of comfrey root in the center and fold it towards you three times. When the candles go out, you will take the sachet powder, the herbs, the roots, and add them to the mojo bag along with the petition. You will place the St. Christopher charm around the string and tie it into it and dress it with safe travel and protection oil while you pray the prayer to St. Christopher for protection. You will wear this bag daily and you will leave the glass of peace water next to a photo of you and the members of your family you are traveling with, and you will leave it there until you return from your trip. That's the free spell. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, AJ, that was so thorough.
Very cool.
That's amazing. And I love the literalism of using the hair that's mentioned in the song. And look at that. You followed it with a list of all of the herbs and where they can be found and where you can read more about them. Wow. JD, you are so good. This is a guy who has been a moderator at the Lucky Mojo Forum for so long that he just, like, he does it, man. thank you. It's interesting, the idea of leaving the glass of peace water next to the photo and do not dispose of it until you return. I like that idea a lot. This is similar to having someone else hold space for you by lighting a candle on their altar, but here you're doing it yourself by having the peace water left at home, and you don't need to hire someone to hold down space for you. Beautiful stuff. All right.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man, and thank you, JD, of HoodooHouseDetroit.com in Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. For the next 2 weeks, we will have our holiday rebroadcasts of some of our favorite shows. We invite you to join us January 7th, when we will have another fine guest. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
We did it!
Hey!
All right. Well, stay tuned, folks, for a couple of rebroadcasts, and we'll be back in January, and Papa Newt will be back in good health by then. And in the meantime, remember, you can go to HoodooWorkshops.com and get those 10 new classes, $25 each, and you get printouts with them, and you get to watch an hour's worth of video. All right, that's it for me, and that's it for everybody. So, good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye, everyone. Happy holidays.
Happy
holidays.
Happy tween days.